It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that online retailers have to charge sales tax. We're talking about how the ruling will affect retailers, consumers, and states. Our guest is Dana Ferguson. She's a politics and government watchdog reporter for the August Leader in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is where this Supreme Court case originated from. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We are also taking calls today. Do you choose to shop online because you don't have to pay sales tax, or is it just for convenience? Will the fact that you now will have to pay sales tax for your state make a difference in your shopping habits? And do you agree with the court's decision? 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Dana, let's start by breaking down what happened in this case. What was the state of South Dakota arguing, and what was the online home goods retailer Wayfair arguing?
Sure. So the state of South Dakota entered this case saying we're not making enough money, and we're losing out on a lot of revenue that we could be picking up online from retailers that don't have a physical presence in South Dakota. They made the case that they've looked to Congress for answers on this, and so far they've not had any. They've been disappointed by that, but the state wanted to press forward, teeing up a possible Supreme Court argument here when it passed a 2016 law that dealt with out-of-state online retailers. They said that the state is missing out on opportunities to fund education, to help businesses here that are being treated unfairly, and they wanted answers. And on the flip side, some of those larger scale online retailers said it's not fair for us to be subjected to the burden of collecting state sales tax if we don't have a physical representation there. They wanted Congress to act on this as well. They said that would be the proper authority to lay down laws in this regard and decide whether online retailers should be subjected to collecting sales tax. So yesterday we saw the decision come down. It was good news for South Dakota. Here in the state, we saw officials celebrating the decision, starting to contemplate where some of that money should go and what is going to come next.
So the state law that was passed in 2016, that was what was challenged by Wayfair, and that's essentially what was decided yesterday.
Yes. And in their decision, they essentially overruled or reversed two previous decisions on similar matters, but those had more to do with catalog sales than online sales.
Yeah, that's the thing that interests me, is that the internet is new, even though really an entire generation now has grown up with it. Court systems take a while. The laws take a while to kind of follow trends in society. And the most recent case that the Supreme Court could look at was 1992, when the internet wasn't really even a thing. And right. We didn't sell anything. We just had catalogs. I think that's fascinating. I'm not really sure if we this really sets precedent, doesn't it?
It does, and I think it just goes to show how much things have changed in the last 25, mm-hmm. 26 years. That there's a complete reversal on this precedent. That the situation has changed so much that justices on the court were saying, what we're using right now is very outdated. It is no longer relevant and
obsolete.
This needs to change with the times.
Anthony Kennedy said in his ruling that it was obsolete. So how much money is South Dakota thinking they're going to bring in now?
You know, it's hard to know. They have ballparked it at around 48 to 50 million annually. And for a state that has a budget right now of about 4.7 billion for the upcoming fiscal year, that's a lot. That's no small chunk of change, and I think other states are looking at that and saying, hey, that's some revenue that we could be benefiting from as well. excuse me. The Attorney General fielded numerous calls yesterday from AGs and other states looking to develop something similar, asking questions about what he might tweak if he had the chance in this law, and overall expressing congratulations.
So what were the, there were, it was a 5-4 vote. Did it turn out on party lines?
It seemed to, but there were some exceptions.
John Roberts, I know, wrote the defense. Chief Justice Roberts wrote the defense. And I believe Elena Kagan and Justice Breyer were part of the majority?
Yes, that is correct.
So what did the dissenting justices have to say? Why didn't Roberts like this?
They seem to have concerns about where this was coming from, that it wasn't coming from Congress, that there should be a more national focus on what the solution is here, and that there was a concern, too, about taxation without representation and concern about this posing too much of a burden on online retailers. Obviously, they were in the minority on this, so their concerns were heard, but not what ultimately wound up occurring. I think there's been a fair amount of concern from smaller retailers that work online, too, that this is going to be a real burden for them. They, while the state law here says that you need to have 200 separate sales to South Dakotans online or make $100,000+ through those sales, that could be some small-tail retailers in other states that are being affected by this, and no doubt they're concerned about it affecting their sales, their ability to connect to South Dakotans. And state law here is such that once the revenue threshold is met through online sales now, some of the tax burden on brick-and-mortar sellers is going to be decreased. So in theory, there's that additional incentive for customers to take their business to brick-and-mortar potentially rather than online sellers.
Right. They don't get a deal now. They, you know, we... I go to Borders and will spend the same amount of money for a book than I will now spend on Amazon. Talk to me, though. We were talking yesterday about this. There was a Quill versus North Dakota case. South Dakota wanted that ruling overturned. Talk to me about what that ruling was.
Sure. So that's the 1992 decision that I think many here in South Dakota have been looking at. And that essentially was a situation where the state of North Dakota was challenging this catalog company, saying if you are selling to folks up in North Dakota, you need to collect and remit sales tax. And obviously, as you mentioned earlier, it was a different time. That notion of online sales wasn't necessarily even a reality back then. But at that time, the Supreme Court ruled that it would be unreasonable to expect those catalog companies or others to be collecting and remitting. And now we see that over the last 25 years, things have changed in such a way that we've got a whole new frontier.
We are talking about the Supreme Court decision yesterday to make online retailers pay sales tax to all 50 states that they sell to. There's been some question about whether this is a burden to online retailers. And are brick-and-mortar retailers happy about this? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Do you shop online mostly? Is this going to make you say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to save any money shopping online. I'm going to go to a brick-and-mortar place. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dana, that is my question here, is that online retailers have been saying, no, we can't pay taxes. We don't live in just one state. We'll have to figure out the tax schemes in all 50 states. But in reality, online retailers sell all over the world. And there are different countries and different cities in different countries and different states and provinces that tax people, and that places like Amazon and Wayfair have to collect and pay taxes for. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I think to some degree there's been a resistance to this because there is the incentive to shop online if you can say you're going to get it cheaper here. You aren't potentially going to get it tax-free, even if that's not necessarily accurate, if they're just choosing not to collect and remit. For a long time, it's been up to the customer to be responsible to pay that to the state. Huh. But a lot of the time, people don't know they have to, or if they know they have to, but know they can't, that they're able to get away with it. Many have been deciding to buy without submitting those taxes.
Well, yeah, I didn't even realize that people needed to do that.
Surprise.
But I think that the interesting thing that, you know, that I feel like the argument from online retailers is sort of a straw man because they already do pay taxes in some
sure.
cases. And as you pointed out, it's not that it's not going to cost online retailers anymore. It's a pass through. I pay Amazon taxes on everything I buy, and then Amazon takes my money and sends it to the state of Wisconsin where I live, correct?
Right. And there's been a sense among some of the large scale online retailers that they have the technology to do this. It won't be a huge change for them, but obviously not something that they were eager to start doing.
Do you think that brick and mortar people that you're talking to, are they happy about this? Do they think that they're actually going to get more business because of this?
I think they're happy about it. It's hard to know if this is going to affect the way that customers buy, so they're a little bit nervous to get too excited about it. I think here specifically, there's the promise of that other state law, which indicates that at a certain threshold, the brick-and-mortar tax rate is going to be decreased, and I think that's when they really become more competitive and more potentially exciting to customers who might be looking at something online as well as at a brick-and-mortar and deciding, hey, I can get this for a small amount less in the store, and that's for customers, that's exciting that they can save a little bit of money there.
So there are a lot of things that I can order online and pick up in the store. I can order from Walmart or Target and go to the brick and mortar Walmart or Target. Did they charge me sales? Honestly, I didn't really know whether they do or not. Did they charge me sales tax at that time?
They should be, yes. If the stores have a physical presence in the state as well as online, they should be charging you that sales tax, and they should be collecting it for you. That said, it's probably good to double check and make sure that that is tacked on there. And I think the state would say if it's not tacked on there, you better be sending it in.
We have been talking about the Supreme Court decision on online sales with Dana Ferguson. Dana is a watchdog for state government and politics reporter for the Argus Leader in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Dana, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to come back and talk about this Supreme Court decision from another perspective in a moment. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show. We are talking about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday that makes online retailers like Amazon and Wayfair charge sales tax to its customers. Will the mandatory online sales tax hurt or help Amazon? Does it really make a difference? Here to discuss that with us for the rest of the hour is Hart Posen. He's an associate professor of management and human resources at the University of Wisconsin School of Business. Hart, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Carrie.
So we were talking before with our reporter from South Dakota. You know, Amazon and Wayfair and other online retailers have said, we don't we don't want to be able to collect money from all 50 states. That's really, that's a burden. But in reality, they collect money from states and countries and cities all over the world, correct?
Well, Amazon does. And in fact, you know, I don't actually believe this is a burden for Amazon. In fact, I think this is a big win for Amazon, in part because they've been collecting sales tax for a long time. Wayfair is a different story because Wayfair doesn't have warehouses around the country and employees around the country. And so on a majority of Wayfair's transactions, they're not currently collecting taxes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's an important distinction here. They're not collecting taxes is distinct from whether buyers owe taxes.
Yes, we talked about that. So
you did. Okay.
So if I buy something, I didn't actually know this. So if I buy something from Wayfair, they don't collect my taxes, but I then have to put that on what? My W-2, my tax returns?
If you do your own taxes, mm-hmm, and you're doing your state taxes, there's a line somewhere near the bottom that says, "Hey, tell us how many dollars you spent on purchases on which taxes were not collected." And remit, because the truth of the fact of the matter is that in most states, it is the buyers who have the tax obligation. The retailer's job is simply to facilitate collection.
So how many people actually do that? How many people put that on their tax returns?
I can't answer
Who knows?
I will say that I do it.
Because you know there's a law.
How many do it? You know, I have no clue. My guess is a very small number.
So Amazon was doing it in most states. I want to talk about...
They're partly doing it in most states, right? So Amazon, because Amazon has warehouses in many, many states, many years ago, they agreed to collect sales taxes on goods they own and sell. But over half of the goods sold on Amazon is not owned by Amazon, and they don't collect taxes on that.
That's exactly what I was going for. So there are a lot of third-party sellers who sell through Amazon. There are also people who sell their own, who have essentially small businesses like on Etsy and eBay. How are they affected?
Yeah, you know, so you're absolutely right. A lot of the third-party vendors who sell on Amazon, it accounts for over 50% of all the units sold on Amazon.
Wow.
Meaning Amazon is only in part a traditional retailer. Half of the goods sold are owned by small businesses that use Amazon as a sales platform, a warehouse platform, and an inbound and outbound logistics platform. Now, whether you paid tax when you bought one of those things depends on whether you were in the state where that seller is. And you wouldn't actually know this till you click through mm-hmm. to the end of the purchase to figure that out.
We are talking about the Supreme Court case yesterday that makes online retailers pay sales tax or collect sales tax.
It's a pass-through.
They collect sales tax from consumers, and then they pass it through to various states where those consumers live. Jennifer from West Bend, thank you very much for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm seeing that you have an Etsy shop.
I do.
So how is this going to affect you?
Well, that kind of remains to be seen. This is a really scary decision for businesses like mine. I am a one-person shop. It's just me. It enables me to pursue an art business that I sell directly to customers. And I have a whole lot more reach using a platform like Etsy than I would through selling in person at, say, a local craft fair. I can reach customers all over the world, but now with the decision that came down, it's kind of put everything into turmoil for us because I don't know that I would be able to keep track of every single state and every single municipality's tax laws, and, you know, I don't have a staff to keep track of things like that for me. It's really easy to see how this would affect someone like Amazon because they're huge and they have mm-hmm. people that can keep track of it, but for someone like me, I mean, depending on how they implement it, whether they make individual businesses remit taxes or if they have marketplaces be responsible for it, so those third-party sellers through Amazon or people like me that sell through Etsy, there's talk that maybe they will make the marketplaces keep track of stuff and then remit sales tax on our behalf. But for someone like me, I don't know that I would be able to continue doing business with I have to have that burden all on me of keeping track of everybody's laws and making sure that I'm in compliance.
You want to take that, Hart?
Yeah. My wife is actually an artist who sells on Etsy as well. And you know, I don't think that you or she has to worry. The big benefit that Amazon provides third-party sellers and eventually Etsy will as well, is that they facilitate all of these sort of institutional mandates, mm-hmm. right? The reason Etsy works is they help you sell, but they also help you collect. They process purchase transactions. Mm-hmm. They process shipping transactions, and I feel very confident that Etsy is going to ultimately help you facilitate your sales tax remittances. In fact, ultimately, this could be a big thing for Etsy, right? It gives you another reason to use Etsy if they are doing the sales tax remittances for you and not some other platform. It is often the case that these kinds of institutional changes are beneficial for the firms that look like it's going to hurt. So safety regulations were beneficial for Uber. Property tax and rental tax regulations are ultimately going to be beneficial for Airbnb. And this is ultimately, I think, going to be beneficial for Etsy versus their other many of their smaller rivals.
So how do we parse out which retailers are winners and losers? It's not just as easy as saying online retailers are losers and brick-and-mortar retailers are winners. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's right. I think a firm like Wayfair is going to be a loser. Wayfair is this retailer of sort of home furnishings and accessories. They are broadly an online retailer. They only have a handful of warehouses, so they don't have employees or facilities in most states. And so that meant for a majority of their transactions, they didn't collect tax, which gave them, depending on where you are, a 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, 7% price advantage over something that you bought locally or even that you bought if it was sold and owned by Amazon. This advantage for Wayfair is going to go away. So that kind of firm is going to be a loser. Other winners, anyone with brick and mortar is a winner. Mom and pop stores, specialty stores, they're winners in this trend, in this. And to be honest with you, I think it's fair.
So online, smaller online stores, will they struggle? I mean, like you talked about Etsy sort of paving the way here. But if I want to start my own business and sort of sell through my home computer, that's going to be a problem. That startup aspect is kind of crunched down.
Well,
isn't it?
You know, I think so. You're right. Now, just to be fair, if you were actually doing a math, and I've talked to small businesses that have done this math and looked at the math of having their own website and doing their own warehousing and their own shipping, many of them will find it less expensive to be a third-party seller on Amazon than to operate their own website. Mm-hmm. The numbers are very clear. This is just going to be one more reason why they're better off with Amazon than they are on their own.
Should that worry us, though, that small startup businesses are crowding into just a few sort of giant retailers that have umbrellas?
I think in the long run, it definitely should worry us. Amazon now accounts for over 40% of all internet e-commerce transactions in the U.S. They are becoming extraordinarily powerful, not only as retailers facing consumers, but also of suppliers of the sales platform and the logistics services. And so I think in the long run, we do risk having a situation where Amazon is such a dominant player, both at retail, but in facilitating these small business transactions. And when you look at Amazon's market capitalization, it's reflecting belief that Amazon in the future will be able to exert market power.
So what do you think of this Supreme Court ruling? Are you okay with paying taxes on your online purchases. Were you actually counting on that to save money rather than going through brick and mortar? Or were there other reasons that you made online purchases? Linda actually emailed and said, I live in the North Woods of Wisconsin. I buy most non-food items online. I am currently paying sales to Amazon, Cabela's, Yonkers, etc., and I didn't realize that online retailers weren't charging everyone sales tax. I shop online for convenience and accept the fact that I pay sales tax as a normal part of purchasing items. Do you really think that this is going to change consumer behavior, Hart? Or like Linda says, everybody pays sales tax. We're used to paying sales tax. It's not a big deal.
I don't think, you know, this is not the dominant, or, you know, it's a very marginal reason why sales are moving from brick and mortar to online. I don't think it's going to have any substantial effect. And keep in mind, Amazon accounts for over 40% of all e-commerce transactions, and you don't know whether you're going to pay tax on that or not when you first click on an item. You have to click through. It depends on who owns the item and where they're located, whether it's Amazon or a third-party vendor. So you don't even know whether you're paying tax on it and on what items in that basket you're paying tax on, mm-hmm. till quite near the end. My guess is this has no noticeable effect on those dynamics.
How much has the online retail market disrupted the brick and mortar retail market since it was invented, what, probably 15 years ago?
You know, clearly a lot. The first online transactions were done actually by a friend of mine in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the mid-90s. And obviously, they've changed things a lot. You know, Amazon now accounts for upwards of 4% of all retail transactions in the U.S. and over 40% of online transactions. Clearly, this is big and important. And clearly, the application of the law, the last court decision before the one yesterday, was, I think, in 1992, which disallowed states from collecting taxes or forcing out-of-state retailers to collect taxes, was out of step with trends in consumer behavior. And it was hurting all of us.
How was it hurting all of us?
It's hurting all of us when some people are paying taxes and others are not.
So Wayfair said in a statement yesterday, Wayfair has long supported a legislative solution that would establish a level playing field for brick and mortar and online retailers by permitting states to collect sales tax on online sales. It would seem they were the plaintiff here, right? They were the people who were saying South Dakota's law was not constitutional, and yet they're saying we've always supported this. And talk to me about what a legislative solution. Is there something that they may be looking to Congress to do that might change the Supreme Court's decision a little bit, that might overrule it?
You know, I'm not really sure what Wayfair is looking for. That statement is noticeably vague in a time of noticeably vague and ambiguous statements in many contexts. You know, there is some merit in recognizing that what firms do in these legislative regulatory situations is often not what they say. Mm. Uber fought against regulation. Airbnb fought against regulation. Amazon fought against collecting sales taxes for many years. But in the end, they gave in, not because they were pressured into giving in, but because they were then at a stage where it was advantageous to do it. And, you know, what Wayfair is saying, ultimately, Wayfair has been a big beneficiary of not collecting sales tax. Now, maybe they're looking...
Because their items are generally so big. That's a bigger deal for them.
Their items are big. They're selling furniture, but you know, ultimately, what we're observing is the biggest players in online retail are opening more and more warehouses because people expect delivery on most things in 2 days. And you can only do that when you have proximate warehouses. When you and I order from Amazon, and I order something from Amazon every single day, just about, it's coming from a warehouse in Illinois or in Wisconsin that's reasonably close by so that two-day delivery is feasible. And so as firms like Wayfair, which is now quite a big firm, grow, and to be able to facilitate rapid delivery, they're ultimately going to have to build physical infrastructure in more and more states. There's just no way around it for a big player.
We are talking about the Supreme Court decision yesterday saying that online retailers have to pay tax. Hart Posen is a UW business professor, and we're going to explore what this tax means a little more for online retailers and brick-and-mortar retailers. We do want your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. It's the morning show. It's a morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Hart Posen is a UW business professor here, and he is talking to me about the Supreme Court's decision yesterday to make online retailers pay sales tax. We want to hear from you. Do you choose to shop online because you don't have to pay a tax or because it's more convenient? Do you agree with the court's decision? Do you think it'll make a difference? Will it hurt online retailers or brick-and-mortar stores? Do you own a store and you sell something on Amazon or perhaps Etsy? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Hart, during the break, and just before the break, we were talking about location, that Wayfair is going to have to open up more locations to have its furniture so that they can deliver faster because that's what consumers expect. But we're really talking in terms of taxes. It's the location of the buyer, of the consumer, not necessarily the location of the retailer. But tell me how that all works together.
You know, it's the location of the buyer that determines if and to whom taxes are owed. If you're the buyer and you live in Wisconsin, you owe sales tax to the state of Wisconsin. Where the retailer is determines whether they collect those taxes and remit them on your behalf, because ultimately they're doing it on the buyer's behalf. So historically, if you bought from a retailer that had a physical presence in Wisconsin, whether it was a physical store or an online retailer that you purchased from that had a physical presence here, take Best Buy. You buy something on BestBuy.com. Mm-hmm. They've got stores here. They will collect Wisconsin sales tax on your behalf and remit it to the state on your behalf. And the law says they're obligated to do it. What the law didn't permit, based on a 1992 decision, was for the state of Wisconsin to mandate a retailer with no physical presence in Wisconsin to collect tax on your behalf and remit it. And that was the decision that was challenged in the Supreme Court ruling yesterday. So there is this, you know, two mandates. Who owes the tax? That's always me and you. Who collects and remits the tax? That depends on the physical location of the retailer.
That's really interesting because I think a lot of people didn't know that when we buy from online retailers and we're not charged tax, that we actually owe the tax
Absolutely. To
the state and that we're supposed to pay it. And I would assume that states haven't really been prosecuting this because there's really no way to prove that you bought something from Etsy and didn't pay sales tax on it.
That's right. You know, there's that one liner on your state of Wisconsin tax return and there's no oversight. It was purely driven by individual choice.
Bill in Platteville has joined us by phone today. Thank you, Bill. Welcome to the program. Bill, you there? Bill? He doesn't seem to be there. I will paraphrase and say that he's a seller on eBay. Will he be forced to charge? Will eBay take care of it for him? We dealt with that with an earlier caller. You think that eBay will ultimately say, we will pay your taxes, and then we'll take it out of what we owe you?
You know, eBay has for some time now, on some measures, been losing out to Amazon. Remember, eBay starts and gets a big head start on Amazon. eBay offers the selling service and the collection service, but has never offered the back-end infrastructure, the logistics services, the warehouse services. So, Carrie, if you're a small seller and you want to sell on Amazon, not only can you use Amazon's website to make the sale, you can have your goods shipped to an Amazon warehouse, and Amazon will manage the goods in the warehouse. When you make a sale, Carrie, they'll ship it on your behalf, and they'll charge you fees for all this. And if your buyer returns it, they'll accept it back at their warehouse and again charge you fees for all this. eBay has lost out because they are not doing this.
Right. If I sell something on eBay, I have to ship it directly to or somehow get it to the buyer.
That's right. Whether you're like me selling your daughter's old iPhone on eBay, or you're a fairly large, you know, a small business selling on eBay, you do the infrastructure mostly yourself. At the margin, eBay's been getting into this. And so I believe that eBay will come along and offer to facilitate the tax remittance, because it's a way of competing and drawing small businesses to sell on their platform. So it is a service that they will almost undoubtedly offer in a more serious way than they do now.
So this almost even pushes eBay forward. If they were reluctant to get into the sort of like total customer experience market, this moves them off the dime. They have to take care of their customers, or their customers may just start selling more on Amazon.
You know, and eBay has been, of course, seeing that their customers defecting to Amazon, because Amazon can manage for these small businesses the back-end logistics often, but not always, better than the small business can themselves.
Andy from Dubuque, welcome to the program.
Your guest a few minutes ago commented that he didn't see a huge change in the amount of online sales because of this, because normally we don't see the taxes added until we check out. And that led to my question, which is sort of a side issue. Why do we do taxes that way? Most countries, taxes are included in the price tag that you see, especially when we didn't charge tax on everything. It would have made things a whole lot easier when you're shopping. And is there any chance that we would get away from this insanity and sort of do it the way the other countries are doing taxes?
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, my daughters have friends in other countries who they had a conversation with once about, why do you add on to the price? The price is just the price, isn't it? That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know the history of it. I too spend a lot of time traveling, and it is insanity that you know, in Wisconsin I have to teach my young daughter, when we go into Target together and I'm teaching her how to manage her money, that when she sees something on the shelf, she has to add on 5.5% to the price. Now, she's pretty good at math, so it's not a big deal, but it is insanity. I fully agree with you. I think that in the U.S., I'm guessing that it was driven by retailers who want to be able to show you that a share of the price is not going to them. The other place you see it, of course, is airline tickets, right? Airlines have been forced to show the total price, including all taxes and fees. But as you go through the checkout in your airline, they'll break out the taxes and fees. And of course, there you see the taxes and fees are a very large share of the total price.
It occurs to me that it could be a business's way of saying, look how much we give to our government entities. Look how much you're paying in taxes.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think it's going to change here anytime soon, to be honest with you. First of all, because I believe it to be state law.
For what?
The way sales taxes are collected.
So let's talk about consumers. Yeah, there is no federal tax like there is in England right now. Let's talk about consumers. This is a regressive tax, meaning it affects people who make less money. Do you think that the fact that we won't be able that people won't be able to go to an online store is going to affect how these consumers kind of these people who make less money are going to tender their dollars, or is it? Are consumers who make less money really going to online stores to save?
You know, I fully agree that sales tax is clearly a regressive tax. I don't really think it's going to have any big impact on shifting dollars from brick and mortar to back to brick and mortar from online.
We are taking your calls to talk about this new ruling from the Supreme Court that says online retailers must pay sales tax. Paul from Slinger, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Oh, good morning. Interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, I purchased a silicone gasket for a Sunbeam pressure cooker. And online on a lark, I went to Amazon and eBay and Ace Hardware, et cetera, et cetera. And they all were in the $8 to $12 range. So along comes a Chinese on this particular page of my search. And I bought it for $1.80 in China Mail and FedEx. The freight was about $4, and the gasket was $1.80 U.S. So I'm just telling you that with the Alibaba, I could do a deal with a Korean firm and sell microwaves out of a warehouse just south of the border, and there's no way anybody would pay the sales tax. Don't create a tax unless you can enforce it, and people aren't going to sit and look at a year's thing they bought and say, oh, they're not going to go through the procedure.
Right. So let me ask you. So you bought directly from Alibaba, or you were buying from Amazon, and their third party retailer was in China?
No, I went to there was no intermediary. I bought from a firm in China, and it was accomplished. And I looked at the gasket. It was a silicone gasket. I used it 450 degree temperature. I mean, it just shows you the powerhouse that China is, and they have to sell to the world to employ their 1.4 billion people.
Okay, so I'm going to take that, Paul. What it shows me is how much of a powerhouse the internet is, that he could find somebody in another country that doesn't necessarily have to rely on these regulations.
You know, there are actually more than one way to do this. You know, Paul might have bought directly from some small retailer in China. A lot of us will use something, Alibaba's retail platform called AliExpress. But even on eBay and on Amazon, you can find vendors who are located
in
Guangzhou,
China, right.
And the implications of this, you know, I'm not a legal expert, I'm a firm strategy expert. The implications of this in terms of sales tax collection by, let's say, AliExpress are not clear to me. And I do think that this is someplace where legislative intervention is going to be needed to create a level playing field.
Sam from Green Bay called. He wonders which state gets the sales tax. Is it where the buyer is or where the company is? We actually covered this already.
We did. Where the buyer is.
A bigger global view is that, hang on just a second here. What if we included, we already asked that question. My question to you is, do you think that this is just a ruling that is catching up with the law?
Yeah, you know, the law is written and the prior court rulings all come from a period that predate any meaningful sales online, which meant unless you were going to shop with a catalog, an overwhelming share of all transactions happened locally. This is simply the law catching up with economic reality.
And if this is decision, if this decision had been made 25 years ago, do you think that we would be looking at a more level playing field, or does it really matter? Have online retailers and brick and mortar retailers done as well as they would have anyway?
You know, I at the margin, it would have made a small difference, but it would not. I don't think the existence of sales taxes online would have had any big effect. If there was an alternative world where we could have played it out differently, with sales taxes properly collected starting in the mid-90s when e-commerce transactions started, I don't think it would have meaningfully changed what we observe today.
So if you are telling a small business what to do, how to deal with their business, what's the advice you would give for somebody who's primarily selling online? What's the advice you would give to somebody who's primarily got a brick-and-mortar shop?
You know, for someone selling online, you know, this is really just another means that's going to push those small businesses towards platforms that can facilitate and deal with all these regulatory burden. It is our society puts a regulatory burden on individuals and businesses, and some vendors like Amazon and maybe ultimately eBay and Etsy, if they do it, will help us deal with that regulatory burden.
We've got Troy from Madison. Troy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
What's your question?
I wanted to say that I do a lot of shopping online, but I think it's important to pay the taxes because our states need it for the functioning of our states. And whether I pay taxes or not online doesn't really decide what I buy. Usually I buy to get American-made products or a certain type of product that's not available.
So yes, you buy online because you can't get what you want here.
Well, you buy it, or it's simply more convenient. You're watching the World Cup and you want to buy a new pair of shoes.
Right.
And you can do it right there and then.
I got to tell you, this is something that has only dawned on me slowly. I will still go to the store for some things, and then somebody will say to me, "Why'd you do that? Why didn't you just get it online?" And I don't realize, because I didn't grow up just with being able to buy things online, I didn't realize it was there. Is there a chance that now that this is in the news, people are like, oh, I could buy lots of things on Amazon that I didn't think I could buy on Amazon?
You know, given the size and breadth of Amazon, I think most of us realize it. I think I'll tell you what has changed over time is if you go back to the late 90s and the birth of Amazon and selling books online, we came to realize we can buy books online. And if you look back at media coverage in the late 90s, people will never buy clothes online, shoes online. They want to try it,
right?
See it. But of course, the evidence all suggests we are buying a lot of shoes and clothes
yeah.
online.
Zappos will tell you that.
Yeah. So, and don't forget, Zappos is a division of Amazon.
Right.
I think this is going to be broadly forgotten relatively quickly as we shift more and more transactions to e-commerce and away from brick and mortar.
We have been talking about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday from saying that brick and mortar stores were not the only people that had to pay sales taxes, that online retail stores needed to pass sales taxes through two states. Also, Hart Posner is an associate professor of management and human resources at the University of Wisconsin School of Business. Hart, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The Morning Show is produced by Colleen Leahy, Brianne Chasso, Chris Molina, Laura Pavin, and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer is our technical director. Keely Boltina is the executive producer. I'm Carrie Kaufman, and this is the Ideas Network.